Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful?
Is a test of the emergency alert system originating from the Michigan State Police Emergency Operations Center in Lansing. If this had been an actual emergency, such as a tornado, a toxic material release, nuclear plant incident, widespread phone or power outages, or other local or state emergency that affects your safety, official messages would have followed the alert tone. This test is presented in conjunction with Michigan's Severe Weather Awareness Week, April 8 through 14. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
And this guest, and Scott Pohl actually, he described it. Oh, and we're back. Ian just gave him the thumbs up. Again, that was EAS testing going on, our emergency alert system taking over. For those who are listening to us, you probably heard that disruption there, but we just want to make sure that our emergency system is working here at WKAR. So welcome back. As I was just noting, we've got a great show, as we customarily do each and every weekday here on WKAR's Current Sports. On today's Current Sports, when this story was being pitched to me by our very own news reporter here at WKAR, a dear friend of Current Sports, of course, that being Scott Pohl, he described it as the Netflix of sports jerseys. I'll let you think about that for a little bit. I think this is a very cool story, a very cool company. We will be joined by Brian Watkins, who will explain. He is the CEO and co-founder of an organization called Rep the Squad. He will join me in a matter of minutes around 1:15 p.m. You don't want to miss that, especially for all of you sports junkies out there who love repping your respective squad by donning a sports jersey. Very cool stuff. I may even hop on board of this one because I feel like sports jerseys are coming back now. They really are. So don't miss that again. Brian Watkins of Rep the Squad. Netflix in sports jerseys. I'll explain. Brian will explain in just a moment. Also, we'll piggyback off of a conversation that we had on yesterday's Current Sports in light of course, the breaking story that occurred earlier this week concerning a female Michigan State student alleging that Michigan State University Counseling Services mishandled and violated her rights when she reported an instance of alleged sexual assault 3 years ago back in 2015 in relation to three unnamed Michigan State men's basketball players. We asked the question, is there a cultural problem here at Michigan State University? Don't miss that. That will be segment B, and I'll love to hear your thoughts on it as well. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, we will discuss the Ole Miss and University of Michigan situation as it pertains to transfer quarterback Shea Patterson. And if you have not heard, there is some breaking news concerning the University of Michigan spring football game, which I'll bring to you in a matter of minutes now. Again, if you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And I want to start with that breaking news concerning the University of Michigan spring football game. A bit shocking, I must say, because many U of M fans I know were excited to see a preview of the 2018 Jim Harbaugh college football squad. And I'll tell you what, you know, Ian, real quick here, man, you know, I've spent the last, and we also have, of course, current sports production assistant behind the glass, John Simon. I'm curious if either one of you have seen the All or Nothing documentary series centered on the University of Michigan 2017 college football season. Oh, they're both, you're both shaking your heads.
I have not. No, I was planning on watching that tonight, actually.
It is amazing. I must say, it is compelling. It's like, I don't know if you guys have seen Hard Knocks on HBO.
Yes.
It's like Hard Knocks. They don't bleep anything. There is actually one moment where Don Brown, the defensive coordinator, is absolutely losing his mind because he is not pleased with what is happening in the Florida and Michigan opener at AT&T Stadium down in Arlington, Texas. They bleep nothing. It is unfiltered. You get a chance to really see who these players are. Donovan Peoples-Jones is profiled, Rashawn Gary. And also, last night, if you want to skip ahead, Spartan fans, and check out what was filmed during and after, and even before, the Michigan and Michigan State college football game, the rainy game at the Big House. Boy, oh boy, do they have some footage that has never been seen before. And Rashawn Gary, actually, when it was all said and done in that game, just breaks down and just cries. It is a very compelling series. It is very well done. I know that the University of Michigan program and school got $2 million, and they gave this camera crew all access. Nothing is out of bounds here. So check it out. Very compelling stuff. So I know many of you are, you know, if you're not going to go out and check out the spring game, because folks, it has been canceled. So you're not going to go out and check out the spring game. They will not have a spring game this year. That was announced, you know, about a couple hours ago, actually, and it will not be rescheduled, seeing as though the spring game counts as one of the allotted practices for the University of Michigan. The department cited weather concerns as a reason for the cancellation and said there will be no makeup. So, hey, you have nothing to do this weekend, right? University of Michigan college football fans. So check out All or Nothing. It's on Amazon Prime. Don't know how many of you have a membership with Amazon Prime. I do. I'm a frequent customer. And I watched it last night, and it is great. It's great stuff, Ian, I must say. Really good stuff. So I think they should do one for Michigan State, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been pretty dominant over the past few years in the state of Michigan. I don't know why they're giving little sister the chance to go on TV, but
shots fired. Well, I tell you what, it's, you know, because it's the winningest college football program in the nation. And we all know there's a hefty fan base when it comes to the Wolverines college football program. So I tell you what, Spartan fans will like it. You guys will enjoy it because there's a lot of losses. But they go like they went like 8-5, right? So there's a lot of losses that you can see and what happened after these losses, what was said in the locker room. I must admit, though, I thought that Jim Harbaugh, after watching it, you know, I'm like 5 episodes in now. After watching it, I really thought that Jim Harbaugh was more fiery than he is. I didn't know if he was like a Tom Izzo type where he just yell at you and get in your grill. He's not like that. He's a really philosophical coach, but he's not one of those guys that if you make a mistake, he's not going to be in your face grabbing you by the jersey. You know, he's really encouraging. I was very surprised to see that because I thought Jim Harbaugh was going to be the exact opposite. At least that's what I see portrayed in this series. So check it out. Again, spring game canceled for Michigan. All right. Michigan State Student Athlete Support Services hosted the 21st annual Spartan Academic Excellence Gala on Monday evening at the Breslin Center. The event recognized the academic success of Spartan student athletes during the 2017 and 18 academic year. Student athletes with at least a sophomore academic standing and a 3.0 or better cumulative GPA were honored, as well as a number of individual award winners who excelled not only in the classroom but in other endeavors as well. In all, 350 student athletes qualified for this year's gala. Also, the Michigan State baseball team, their rally came up short in an 8-7 loss to Notre Dame yesterday here on the campus of MSU at McLane Baseball Stadium, snapping MSU's 3-game win streak. The Spartans were down 8-0 entering the 7th inning, but played at 7 runs, including homers from freshman catcher Adam Proctor and senior designated hitter Chad Roskelly, to close within a run, but couldn't complete the comeback. It was MSU's 9th one-run game this season, tied for the 6th most in the country. The Spartans continue their 4-game non-conference stretch this weekend against Valparaiso at McLane Stadium at Cobbs Field for a 3-game series. The Spartans and Crusaders clash opens on Friday at 3:05 p.m., followed by Saturday and Sunday with 1:05 p.m. start times. Michigan State and Michigan will meet for the 117th time in the world of college softball today, and Michigan State trails the all-time series by a 28-88 margin. The last meeting of the teams went to MSU, a 4-3 win in the quarterfinals of the 2017 Big Ten tourney that served as the 800th career victory. Former MSU head coach Jackie Joseph. MSU is 2-6. Through 3 Big Ten weekends and is coming off what was supposed to be an 8-game homestand. MSU lost 3 games to Indiana over Easter weekend and was forced to postpone last week's midweek tilt with Notre Dame and split a doubleheader with Minnesota on Sunday in its last action. All right, Ole Miss formally objected to Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson's NC2A waiver request for immediate transfer eligibility in 2018. And while Patterson's attorney, Thomas Mars, wholeheartedly disagrees with the school's decision to do so, he doesn't believe it'll have any influence on the NCAA's final decision about whether or not the QB will be able to suit up for the Wolverines come fall. He also says that he is as confident as he has ever been that the NCAA will grant Patterson immediate eligibility to play this year. In terms of a timeline, Marr said it's anyone's guess when exactly all of this will be resolved, but he estimates the situation is nearing its end. The Michigan football team will be without Ben Mason for the remainder of the college football spring season. Mason, who will be a sophomore this year, plans to have surgery to repair a torn meniscus he suffered in practice, according to head coach Jim Harbaugh, who revealed that news this week on his Attack Each Day podcast. So again, Ben Mason out for the remainder of spring practice. And again, there will be no spring game come this weekend. The Detroit Red Wings are bringing coach Jeff Blashill back for a 4th season, sticking with him while they rebuild after missing the postseason for the 2nd year in a row. Detroit extended its postseason streak 25 years in 2016 during Blashill's debut season as an NHL coach. The Wings have fallen short since then and are 104, 105, and 37 in 3 seasons under Blashill, who won 1 playoff game 2 years ago. The Detroit Tigers hitters were 0-10 with runners in scoring position and stranded 8 runners in a 2-1 loss to the Cleveland Indians. That's right, the Tribe got the best of the Tigers yesterday. It was their 9th loss in a row to the Indians, and they've scored 3 runs or less in all 9. Left-hander Matthew Boyd's performance, former pitcher for the Lansing Lugnuts, was tops among them. He allowed three hits over seven innings. One mistake resulted in a first-inning solo homer by Jose Ramirez. Other than that, he had the Indians hitters really lunging and taking uncomfortable-looking swings most of the game. The Tigers will take on the Tribe today with first pitch scheduled for 6:10 p.m. Also, as the NBA's regular season draws to a close, both the Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons approach their final game, looking ahead to what's ahead. The Pistons and Bulls will get it on tonight, and in both cases, a fair amount of uncertainty exists. The Bulls head into tonight's season finale against the Pistons, having lost 10 of their past 13 games, including three straight, hoping to still have a shot at a prime lottery slot in this year's summer draft. And we all know about the hot seat of Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Pistons, which is getting hotter by the day. We hope to have James Edwards III on sometime next week to provide some clarity when it comes to that situation. In the meantime, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, a matter of minutes, we will be chatting with Brian Watkins, Rep the Squad CEO and co-founder. You don't want to miss this chat and so much more. But until then, let's keep this train a-moving.
Yeah, it happened within that 10-year span. It happened. You know, my story is endurance. The full story of it is, but there were times, of course, that it didn't seem like it would happen. I kept coming back because I genuinely felt I was close, like, you know, each year. And so I passed up a lot of overseas opportunities. I wanted to play in this league. I knew that from the start. And I always felt like the D League or G League was the best route. And so I was going to keep at it until I couldn't physically, which I feel great, or until my wife said, come on home. So yeah, I mean, it was I was just going to keep going. That's all it was. And I don't know when the actual stopping point was, but yeah, I could honestly say we were getting kind of close.
Well, so wait, so you're a teacher also?
I do tutoring. Mathematics is also a passion of mine. To keep that part of the brain going, I would tutor during the D League and G League seasons online and Skype. I do it in the off season as well. That's a true joy of mine. It's mostly middle and high school kids and preparing them for you know, college SATs, ACT, stuff like that. So, yeah, man, it's a joy of mine.
Well, I got some kids I'm going to send to you in the Smith household, and we live in Los Angeles. We'll give you two. Shaq got kids in L.A. Yep. So yeah. We are now donating to the Andre Ingram Mathematics Foundation by sending our kids to yours.
Oh, boy, before we get to our guest for today's current sports, I had to start with that story. How cool was that? That was the coolest story I've seen since yesterday. Andre Ingram, L.A. Lakers, 32-year-old rookie who is a math tutor. Amazing story. I don't know if you guys tuned in to last night's NBA on TNT broadcast of the L.A. Lakers and the Houston Rockets. The game really meant nothing. You know, the Lakers are not some powerhouse that is going to the NBA playoffs, right? And the Houston Rockets have already clinched the number one seed in the NBA's Western Conference, just waiting for the weekend, right? The NBA playoffs officially start on Sunday. So it allowed Magic Johnson and the LA Lakers to call up a 32-year-old rookie by the name of Andre Ingram, who played in the NBA's G League for 10 years. He had 19 points in his debut against the Rockets on Tuesday, made 6 of his 8 shots, including 4 of 5 three-pointers, added 3 rebounds, had 3 blocks, 1 assist, and 1 steal. folks, you can do anything you put your mind to. And don't ever feel like time has passed you up. I don't care what age you are. If you got a dream, stick with it. Because you never know. You may be knocking on the door of that dream right now and you don't even know it. So keep on pushing. Just wanted to provide some words of encouragement. This story certainly inspired me. I wanted to start with a feel-good story before we get to our guest for today's current sports. A lot of things to get to on today's show. We will be piggybacking off of our conversation from yesterday's current sports, in which we invited Karen Truskowski, who is the attorney representing a young woman who says that Michigan State violated her rights and mishandled her case of alleged sexual assault, in which she says she was raped back in 2015 by three Michigan State men's basketball players. And that story is the latest in a slew of negative stories in what dates now more than a year ago. And I'm going to put in perspective what this story now means for the university. And we'll tackle the question, is there a cultural problem here at Michigan State? Trust me, you don't want to miss that. But right now, I want to invite a man to the show because I know he's short on time. His name is Brian Watkins. He is the CEO and co-founder of an organization entitled Rep the Squad. And Scott Pohl, our very own news reporter here, pitched this story to me. And he said, Al, it's very cool stuff. And it's like Netflix for sports jerseys. To clarify what I mean when I say that is Brian Watkins right now. Again, CEO and co-founder of Rep the Squad. Brian, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So Brian, let's dive right into it because I know you're short on time. Can you please let our listeners know what exactly Rep the Squad is?
Yeah, you got it right in the box, right? It's old school Netflix or Gamefly, Rent the Runway, whatever analogy you want to use. But for less than $20 a month, we have users that can come to the website, repthesquad.com, and they get a pick from an assortment of about 1,000 different jerseys that we have to offer across multiple professional sports teams. You queue them up in your locker. We send you the first one. You get to wear it for a day, a week, a month, whatever you want to do. When you're done with it, you can drop in a prepaid envelope, send it back to us, and we're going to send you the next jersey on your list.
That is amazing. So sports fans out there, if they have a particular team that they are just goo-goo ga-ga about, right, you're talking about more than 1,000 jerseys, so more than likely they will have probably your team. You guys will mail the jersey. You can rock it for what's the longest period of time you can rock that jersey for, Brian?
We're happy if you want to hold it for as long as you want. We really don't care. But what we're finding is, like, you know, somebody like my, you know, from Golden State, like Steph Curry, well, we have all four different jerseys that he's going to wear this year. And so, you know, you might want to have a different Curry jersey every single week while he goes through the playoffs.
That's very cool stuff. So how did this idea enter your mind, and what went into putting this idea into fruition?
Yeah, you know, we've just seen, I think there's a two-part question that one is, or two-part answer. There's one is passionate sports fans. I think, you know, the jersey proposition is a hard one, right? I mean, they cost a lot of money. Styles change. Like, you know, the Detroit Tigers just changed the logo on their jersey after 50 years. Or, you know, players get traded, like, you know, losing Harrison Bradley for Griffin earlier this year for the Pistons. And so you have movement, you have changes, all that stuff makes jerseys kind of fall out of favor sometimes. And so we're kind of solving that aspect of it. And that's just combined with this whole trend, I think, now of people wanting more access to things. So instead of having one jersey, having an endless closet to really be a true sports fan, to really show your fandom by what's happening on any given day.
Now, when we're talking about levels of play here, are we talking just professional jerseys here? Do you guys have college jerseys as well, Brian?
Yeah, we just started about 7 months ago. So we're actually active in about 7 markets right now. So, you know, we're carrying, and Detroit's actually a great market for us. So we have everything in Detroit. We have Denver. We're doing the Lakers and the Bay Area and also the Seahawks. And, you know, we fell in love with Detroit. I actually knew Golden Tate when he was playing in Seattle. And when he moved out to Detroit, he was actually one of the first people I talked to about this idea about fandom and getting jerseys out there. and he fell in love with it. It really pushed us how Detroit was a four-city sports town, has a great college backing also, and you know, the state of Michigan. So it was just a great fit for us.
That is amazing, Brian. So what leagues did you guys partner with to make jerseys available to your fan base?
Yeah, we started with the NFL with the idea, you know, we launched at the beginning of last season. I think the NFL jersey wearer is probably the largest market out there. But then, you know, as we started to gain success, we quickly followed with the NBA. And then now that we're in baseball season, we have MLB. And, you know, we do have a future goal of launching, you know, hockey and WNBA and international and European Premier League. You know, in time, as we build this out, we want to become just your go-to destination for anything around sports and sports jerseys.
Certainly. What about college jerseys? Is that on the docket as well?
That is absolutely on the docket. I think we're going to start by experimenting with college professional players' throwback college jerseys is going to be step one. Mm-hmm. And then over time, also work with the schools about how to build out a program that we can do it every single year with current teams.
I love this idea. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Brian Watkins, Rep the Squad CEO and co-founder. So, Brian, just a few logistical things. All right, let's say I'm rocking this jersey, right? An old school, I'm a Detroit Pistons fan, so an old school Isaiah Zeke Thomas jersey. And let's say I'm at the game and I just spill some nachos on the jersey. Oh, my goodness, this jersey's now dirty and I have to send it back to you guys. What happens? What happens? Do I get fined or something?
Not at all. So you know, we actually get a wide range of jerseys coming back to us with people that had a great time at the game. And, you know, you just still drop in the envelope. It can be dirty. We have a professional set of cleaners and stain busters here. And, you know, stuff like nachos and you know, ketchup and all that good stuff, we're able to clean it right out of those jerseys and get them back to looking brand new again before we send them back out.
That's fantastic stuff. Okay, what is that rate right now for listeners out there who are saying, wow, that's really cool. I want to at least try this out. How can they do so, Brian?
Yeah, if you go to repthesquad.com and you can sign up there, and we basically have packages starting as low as $14.95. So if you're willing to commit to a full year, we can do it at $14.95. If you want to go month to month, it's $19.95. And I think it's just a great way, you know, especially as, you know, the season's opening for the Tigers, if you want to rep that, or as, you know, we're getting in the NBA playoffs. This just gives you access to really show your fandom during different seasons of the year.
Okay, two more questions for you, Brian. Let's say I'm at the game and I meet one of my favorite athletes, and I'm like, oh man, I have nothing for this athlete to sign, but my Rep the Squad jersey. Now, again, you're not going to return an autographed jersey to you all. Is there an opportunity for fans out there to buy these jerseys?
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually had that exact same thought, which is, you know, one of the fears I would have is actually getting that jersey signed and then being told I have to return it. So every single one of our jerseys have a buy it now price, you know, so that you can feel safe. And it's below, you know, new retail. We understand that this has been worn before. And so you can rest assured that if this is your lucky charm, if this is something that you want to wear in the future, or you get an autograph, we're more than happy to do it. It was so funny. We actually had a customer, a subscriber out of San Francisco, after they got Jimmy G for the last five games of last season. Mm-hmm. And he was renting one of the jerseys, and he goes, I can't return this. We're 5-0 since I got this jersey. And so we completely understand that can happen in the world of sports and fandom.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well, this is an incredibly cool idea, Brian. I may have to hop on the bandwagon and just give it a go, because I feel like in 2018, you know, in the early 2000s, you saw this wave. I'm a big hip hop guy as well, especially in the hip hop community. You start to see these old school throwback NBA jerseys that were really, really popular. I still have a few in my closet right now, and they're really coming back. So I may have to give this thing a go, and we'll be sure when we post the podcast version of this episode, we'll be sure to post the information on how our listeners can hop on board as well. That sound good?
That sounds great.
All right, Brian Watkins, Rep the Squad CEO and co-founder. Brian, thank you so much for your time.
Yep, thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right, how cool is that, Ian? I'm curious, because, you know, I tell you what, Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports before you, you know, Isaac was a big jersey wearing guy.
Huge jersey guy.
I mean, he would rock. I mean, he has like an old Pistol Pete Maravich Dallas jersey from back in the day. And he has all these, you know, New Orleans jerseys from back in the day as well. So he's a big throwback guy. As I mentioned, in the hip-hop community, you remember, I mean, back in the days of Chingy and Nelly, those guys used to rock jerseys all the time, and it was like a wave that happened. I have an old-school Philadelphia 76ers Allen Iverson jersey. It's red and white. They went back in the day during the days of Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain and created the Philla red and white jerseys for the modern players at the time, like AI. I got one of those. I have a Michael Jordan. You know I'm a big GOAT fan, right? Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I have a Michael Jordan high school basketball jersey, the Bucks blue and gold. I still have my Chauncey Billups Detroit Pistons jersey from back in the early 2000s. Chauncey Big Shot Billups was my favorite player. But how cool is this? You can rock your favorite team. You know, it's not like you have to fully commit to buying this jersey, you know, for, you know, like less than $20 a month. You can rent these jerseys, wear them, send them back, and get another one. Genius idea. I wish I would have thought of it first.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, I'm a big fan of the old school jerseys myself. I have a Michael Jordan Birmingham Barons jersey from when he was playing on the Birmingham AAA team in Alabama.
Minor league baseball, right?
Oh, yeah, when he rode the bus. I'm sure you've seen that documentary.
Definitely.
And then I've got one from the New York Nets back when Dr. J was playing there. And those are my two most prized clothing articles. So I will definitely be hopping on this Rep the Squad train here.
Very cool stuff. And
seeing what kind of niche jerseys I can find.
Yeah, and I'm curious to open up our phone lines to our listeners. I'm curious, what is your most beloved jersey growing up, or maybe even now? What's the most coveted jersey that you have? For me, it's got to be those two, the Allen Iverson jersey and the Michael Jordan high school jersey for me. I mean, I was even thinking about, since I don't wear them anymore, and especially, I don't know what we were thinking in the early 2000s, Ian, but we used to wear our clothes so baggy and big. Like this, John's over there shaking his head right now, like, yeah, we did. I don't know what we were thinking back then. But both of those jerseys are like 2XLs, which is ridiculous, right? I kid you not. It's like a blanket over me now. I like tried it on like 2 months ago, and I'm like, what in the world were we thinking back in the day? I used to wear it on a regular. I look like a clown.
Yeah, now we're in the slim fit days.
Yeah, the slim fit days. Everything's got to be tight and right, right? So I'm thinking about actually getting those two jerseys framed, and then one day if I run into AI or MJ, oh, I may faint if I meet MJ. That's the only athlete. I've been in this industry for a long time, and I don't get starstruck, but I may get starstruck if I was to meet Michael Jordan. But, you know, if I get him signed, especially, they will be framed. I'm thinking about getting them framed because I can't fit those jerseys now, right? So
yeah, you're going to have to do a lot of eating if you want to fit back into those jerseys
exactly.
Slim fit way.
Right. Preach on, brother. But much thanks to Brian Watkins of Rep the Squad. Again, you see what I'm saying now? It's like Netflix, but sports jerseys. You can rent a jersey for as long as you want. Send it back, get a new one. How about that? A very cool idea. Much thanks to Brian Watkins of Rep the Squad for joining me. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to get some stuff off my chest when it comes to this latest story, this latest troubling story as it pertains to Michigan State athletics, in which a young woman, a young Michigan State student, is alleging that back in 2015, she was raped by three Michigan State men's basketball player. She is filing a lawsuit that attacks MSU. I've got some thoughts on that, and I will answer the question whether or not there is a cultural problem here at Michigan State. We'll be right back. Right, and that is how we roll into segment B. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, right here live inside of Studio West on the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up a chat with Brian Watkins, Rep the Squad CEO and founder. Rep the Squad, a really cool organization that, as you heard from Brian, was just founded 7 months ago. You can wear the jersey of your favorite professional team. You know, you can wear a Miguel Cabrera Detroit Tigers jersey for as long as you want. And you can send it back, and they'll send you a different jersey if you're feeling another player or another squad. Very cool stuff. Again, it's like Netflix, but for sports jerseys. And, you know, you can join for as little as, what, like $20? I think as little as $20, I believe he said, a month or a year. I have to double check on that. But still, very, very affordable, I must say. And I may try this out for a small portion of time to see if I enjoy it, because, you know, I feel like sports jerseys are coming back. Rocking sports jerseys is becoming a thing that the kids are doing now, just like it was really a huge wave in the early 2000s. But, you know, I asked a question to our listeners out there. Do you have a coveted childhood sports jersey that you may even still have? Or do you have a coveted jersey that you have in your possession right now that you wear from time to time? I noted how my two are my Michael Jordan high school basketball jersey and my throwback Allen Iverson Fila jersey, the red and white AI Fila jersey, and the MJ jersey I have is a royal blue and gold jersey. I used to wear those two religiously back when I was in high school, and I still have them. But again, they're like 3XL, so I'm probably going to get them framed and hop on the squad of Rep the Squad. So do you have a coveted jersey? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can even tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. I see Stephanie and Ben Grimes chime in via Facebook.com/WKAR News, where we have the live stream up and running. Stephanie says, my favorite jersey is my Rip Hamilton Pistons jersey. And I feel you, Steph. You know, I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan, and I still have my Chauncey Billups Detroit Piston jersey. And Ben says, I have a Mike Bibby jersey, a Ben Wallace jersey, and a Pavel Datsyuk jersey. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. All right. Well, let's go to line one right now. I do believe we have one of our dear listeners and callers that wants to chime in. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, welcome to Current Sports. How are you?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
Always good hearing your voice, man. Thank you.
So I can't add to the conversation about owning any kind of jersey or whatever. As you know, I'm kind of an old guy, and that phase has passed me by. But I have a market for this. Okay.
Okay.
And that is the personal wager on, like, rivalry games where, you know, you have this wager, and if your team loses, you have to wear the other team's jersey, you know, for a week or something like that. And I think this would fit in just perfectly because you're not going to want to go out and buy the other team's jersey or something. Usually the other person has to provide you with the other team's jersey. Well, this would be perfect.
Genius.
You know?
Isn't that genius? Because then you don't have to commit to buying the jersey. And, you know, we all know jerseys, athletic jerseys are just ridiculous when it comes to the price tag, right? So, yeah, you can just rent a jersey of that said rival that you lost to if you do lose a bet, and then just return it back to Rep the Squad. That's genius, right, Kirk?
Yeah. Well, and then the other side of it would be, you know, if you're the person who has to wear it, so you call in and you order it, maybe you could pick out some player from that team that is your rival, wear their jersey, you know, it's a player who maybe made some kind of poor play. Like, if you had to wear a Michigan jersey, maybe you're wearing the jersey of the guy, the punter from 2 years ago who mispunted, you know what I mean?
So, right.
You know, you're having to wear the other team's jersey, but you're getting a little backhanded slap in there too, you know what I mean?
I like that. And you know what also crossed my mind when talking with Brian is, you know, when you discuss college jerseys, of course, when you buy a college jersey, if that player is still playing, you know, we all know how the NCAA is, right?
Yeah,
they don't sell the jerseys of those current players, but if that player has gone professional or has left the university, I believe you can slap that player's name on the back of a throwback jersey and sell it to the public. But that's the only thing. Yeah, you can't, like, rock a Brian Lewerke Michigan State college football jersey. You just it's right. Against the rules, right?
Right, yeah.
But, all right, you know, that's a great idea, though. I like that idea, Kirk.
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to utilize this service that I think that people haven't really thought about out there. But it's very interesting to me, the idea of basically renting a jersey, although I have to admit, again, being an old codger, the idea of wearing a jersey that somebody else was, you know, wearing 2 weeks ago, I don't know. I'm a little weird about that.
Well, just make sure that you've done your laundry before you put that thing on. We'll just put it that way. I may even double, even though they bring it to you washed, I may even wash it again just to make sure, right?
Yeah.
All right.
You don't want to catch anything in the process.
No, know? Not at all. Not at all. Kirk, all thanks right. so much for the call. Great call, my man, and great point.
Take care.
We may have to link Kirk up with Brian. He may have an idea there.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some scheming going on there on Kirk's side that Brian might want to be aware of.
No, I think it's a great idea. If they collab with that, I think that's fantastic. You know, maybe there's a wager section of the website, you know, where if this player loses, it's automatically shipped, you know, to his house and he has to wear it. You know, I like that idea. I see where Kirk is going there, man. He's a businessman, as the great Jay-Z would say. All right. I want to get to shift gears real briefly here, because I want to get to the topic that we have been discussing throughout the first 3 days of WKAR's Current Sports. It is the big headliner that has gone national. And for those that tuned in to yesterday's Current Sports, you know that we had the attorney of the young woman who was a student here at Michigan State University, who alleged that back in 2015, 3 years ago, she was raped by three Michigan State men's basketball players. She is filing a lawsuit that is going after Michigan State University. She is suing Michigan State University for alleged mishandling and violation of her rights when she went to the Michigan State University Counseling Center and told them what happened, and allegedly the counseling center discouraged her from coming forth. It's a very disturbing allegation, especially when you comb through the details like we did yesterday with Karen Truskowski, who was the attorney representing this young woman. And I've heard many mixed reactions from Michigan State fans out there. I don't know if you guys have read today's Lansing State Journal or today's Detroit Free Press, but Graham Couch, Michigan State columnist for the Lansing State Journal, he has written a very honest and telling piece. And also, Sean Windsor, columnist for the Detroit Free Press, has written a very candid piece as well. Sean, really, I've heard a lot of mixed reactions when it comes to Sean's piece entitled MSU Allegations, Damning, Despicable, where he really goes at the university. And I have to admit, when it comes to my take on what both Graham and Sean wrote, I have absolutely no problem with either of those pieces. The Michigan State men's basketball team is under a microscope. Again, this time due to this lawsuit from this Michigan State student who is suing the university. Alleged mishandling of her claim of sexual assault in 2015 involving three unnamed Michigan State men's basketball players. What really startles me when it comes to the details of the allegations is not only the disturbing story in which she says she was manipulated into going to an after party after attending Harper's in downtown East Lansing. According to the young woman, it was not a party, but more so a setup. She described how she lost control of her ability to control motor functions, like the ability to control her thumbs, to try and send a text, because she felt something was wrong. The alleged details are chilling. We went through those to close out Tuesday's current sports. But I want to say this. I want to let this be known. If found to be true, what also disturbs me is the alleged response of the Michigan State University Counseling Center. She was allegedly told that the counseling office had seen a lot of cases involving, quote, this is a direct quote from the lawsuit, quote, guys with big names. And that the best thing to do was to, quote, just get yourself better. End quote. Again, if found to be true, this directly speaks to entitlement. It directly speaks to how many believe, this is no secret, many believe out there that big name athletes walk around like big man on campus. A campus like Michigan State University. And are basically allowed to do whatever they want with no fear or consequence of wrongdoing. It's sickening. And I have to be honest here. I don't know how. If you are the parent of a young woman who attends Michigan State, I don't know how you can completely feel comfortable with your daughter walking this campus when you constantly read stories like this. Numerous headlines now. In more than a year now, I mean, how many troubling stories have we read when it comes to the safety of the female student at Michigan State? And folks, don't try to dismiss this without letting the legal process play out. Those who are trying to dismiss this and really pick apart this young woman's story, like Sean Windsor said in his column today, you are a part of the problem. You really are. Not the solution. It's amazing how many of you lack compassion and lack sympathy and want to jump to your own conclusions without letting the legal process play out. During this moment right here, you know I've used the words allegedly a lot. And if found to be true, a lot, because we have to let this play out. I am just speaking to how disturbing it is that we are constantly reading headlines and reading of stories of this nature at this university. Those who are trying to dismiss and pick apart this young woman's story, again, you are a part of the problem, not the solution. You are a part of the enabled behavior that I'm talking about. I kid you not. I have heard criticisms such as, well, why did it take her 3 years for her to come out and tell her story? Or, why didn't she go to the police first? Or, she can replay in detail quite a lot for someone who seemed to be drugged that night. I kid you not, these are legit messages and comments that I have read pertaining to this story online. Legit quotes I've read from those on social media and even in my direct messages on Facebook. I kid you not. So, is that how we are going to play it now? That's how we're doing things now, huh? In light of one of the most powerful movements in our nation's history, hashtag Me Too, those are the cards we are going to play. To be a critic and raise an eyebrow to someone's horrifying tale of an alleged rape, you meet this story with judgment. You got to be a really sick person. And many of those who are meeting this story with that kind of attitude, some are doing so from selfish reasons. Let's be all the way real here. Who are you to attack my school? Who are you to attack and try to exploit my beloved MSU men's basketball team? Who are you to add to the media firestorm that is attacking my university? Are you starting to see how sick you sound? In many ways, your voice sounds like that of the alleged counselor who is said to have possibly discouraged this young woman from coming forth 3 years ago. We've seen our nation's worst case of sexual assault fester right here on this campus with the enabled behavior of Larry Nassar. We just witnessed three former MSU football players plead guilty to charges of seduction involving a young woman at a party at a campus apartment in January of last year. Austin Robertson, another former MSU football player, currently awaits trial on two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. And say what you will of the ESPN reports from Paula Levine, but those have also brought about many questions. Brock Washington, walk-on MSU men's basketball player, was just charged with misdemeanor assault just last week. When do the disturbing stories end? When can the healing process for the victims and this university truly begin? Well, it's got to start with accountability and not dismissal in order to protect your said athletic program or institution. So, cultural problem? In my eyes, it seems more like a problem of possible enabled behavior, which has been festering here for far too long. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I want to hit our first break right now. If you've got a comment or concern, again, call that number or you can comment below our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have about 5 minutes left here in the hour. Ian Hawley, Current Sports Engineer, just heard my take on the latest troubling story concerning a young woman, student here at Michigan State University, who claims and alleges back 3 years ago in 2015 that she was raped by three Michigan State men's basketball players. She is suing the school. We had her attorney on the show yesterday, Karen Truskowski. Karen clarified a few questions that we had concerning the lawsuit, why it did take 3 years for her to come out, what happened on that night in April of 2015. And you heard what I had to say. It's just amazing the amount of ignorance that a lot of people have when discussing something this sensitive, in which a legal process has to play out, how many are already coming out and attacking this young woman. And that's why a lot of them, you know, a lot of victims out there, a lot of survivors, I like to say, I like to call them survivors, a lot of survivors. That's why a lot of them stay anonymous, because they don't want their name out there, their face out there in the public, especially when you're talking about athletes at a big time university like Michigan State. Many people feel like you're attacking these individuals because of their name, because of their stardom on campus. You're trying to, you know, catch a money grab. That's why a lot of them stay anonymous here. Because just imagine if this young woman had her name and face out there. I'm pretty sure she may be getting hateful messages on social media, maybe even death threats. I mean, it would be bonkers. We have a long way to go as a culture and as a society. And that's the point I was trying to hammer home in segment B. It just makes no sense to me. Attacking this young woman and questioning her story, that's not your job to do. For you to play the role of judge here, that is not your role. But it amazes me how many people feel like it is. Ian, any thoughts?
Just exactly what you said. I mean, this girl was probably afraid that her name was going to get dragged through the mud if she were to come forward and, you know, publicly release her identity.
And that's the response that she is alleging happened with the Michigan State Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm. What she said Michigan State told her would happen to her.
You're
so why would she
be swimming with some really big fish? Come on, really?
Yeah, if that's the advice that she's getting, then obviously she's not going to turn around and go against that advice. She went to that counselor with, you know, the trust that this person works for my university and they're going to give me the best advice they can give me. So, it's kind of despicable when you sit there and you comment on social media behind your screen and, you know, you think, oh, I'm anonymous or these people can't get to me. But, you know, people still read those things. I'm sure this young woman has had to read a lot of nasty things about her in the past couple of days. So but props to her for coming forward and trying to get her story shared and, you know, hopefully lead the way for other young women who have been through this same kind of scenario to do the same thing and feel confident in coming forward.
Yeah, I can only imagine the courage it takes to come forward when it pertains to something of this nature. And I can only imagine what she's gone through these 3 years and now right now in this moment. Ron says, before we close out, I want to read this comment from Ron, one of our dear listeners and friends of the show, Ron DeLeon. Great show, Al. You know, I love my Spartan Nation. And am friends with many student athletes out here. But with that being said, my beautiful daughter is graduating this year from MSU, and her safety has always been a concern of mine with the stories I hear out there. And it is a legit concern, Ron. Thank you so much for commenting. Thank you for all of our listeners out there. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.